Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Delegates from nearly 200 countries are in Morocco this week to work out how to implement the Paris Climate Agreement. That's the historic accord under which countries, including the United States, pledge to limit global temperature rises to 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels and to help poorer nations transition away from fossil fuels. However, with the election of Donald Trump last week, some environmentalists are concerned that the U.S. may backtrack. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry sought to reassure the conference today.
I can tell you with confidence that the United States is right now, today, on our way to meeting all of the international targets that we've set. And because of the market decisions that are being made, I do not believe that that can or will be reversed.
Robert Stavins is a professor of business and government at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He's also director of the Harvard Project on Climate Agreements. He's in Marrakesh running panels for the delegates about the implementation of the Paris Accords. And we spoke with him a little earlier today. We began by asking Stavins what effect the U.S. presidential election has had on the talks in Marrakesh.
Certainly, the recent election in the U.S. represents the most dramatic change that we've had in the United States in political leadership, at least in my lifetime. And that's as true in the area of international relations, including climate change, as it is in any other. So naturally, the delegations here from around the world who are knowledgeable about what happened with the U.S. election are very concerned. They're aware of what Mr. Trump said during the campaign in terms of removing the United States from the international climate negotiations process, canceling the Paris Agreement, rolling back standards and programs in the United States on climate change. So they are rightfully concerned.
Did the Secretary of State's remarks give the delegates more confidence?
I think the Secretary of State did what he needed to do in terms of what he said. I think he's correct that market forces, that is the low price of natural gas relative to coal, will mean that there will be continuing trends of CO2 emissions coming down, particularly in the electricity sector, and that for other reasons there are movements now in the economy, lower price of renewables, so the U.S. will continue to make some progress. But it's surely also true that the commitment that was previously made by the Obama administration under the Paris Agreement, the 26% to 28% by 2030 below the 2005 level, was already going to be difficult to achieve. And now without the Clean Power Plan, which President-elect Trump has pledged to rescind, it's going to be even more difficult.
Now, Donald Trump did say during the campaign that he would cancel the Paris Climate Agreement. But I understand that President Obama ratified the agreement in September. It entered into full force on November 4th. So could a new administration actually cancel America's participation in the climate agreement?
Well, there are three things that the new president could, in theory, do. One would be to officially withdraw the United States from the Paris Agreement. That requires 4 years. You have to announce it 3 years in advance, and then it's a one-year process. So that would take us right through the Trump administration to its conclusion, or at least the conclusion of its first term. So that's not the likely course that they would take. There is another possibility that would be much more drastic and really quite terrible, and that would be that it requires only 1 year notification for the United States to withdraw from the overall framework convention. That's the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, signed in 1992 by President George H.W. Bush and ratified by the United States Senate. To pull out of the convention would disrupt international relations in dimensions that go beyond climate change. So I can't say that I think the Trump administration won't do that, because I really don't know what they'll do, but that would be extremely unfortunate. The third possibility is simply taking actions, or rather not taking actions, domestically in terms of domestic policies, so that the nationally determined contribution submitted by the Obama administration is not achieved, that 26% to 28% reduction. That we'd still be in the Paris Agreement, but we just wouldn't be really participating trying to do anything.
Did the election of Donald Trump and the uncertainty there now seems to be around America's commitment, long-term commitment, to any climate change accord, is that perhaps emboldening other countries who maybe did not want to sign on or were less enthusiastic about the Paris Agreement?
The Paris Agreement really was adopted, was written because of the out-front affirmative actions of China and the United States. So what's happened since the Trump election is that China has said, senior officials from China have said, look, we're staying with it. We're going to continue with what our pledge was. And we're quite interested in assuming global leadership on this issue because, in fact, we think that leadership on this issue, which we're happy to take, will spill over to other issues. So, ironically, this kind of action by the Trump administration could actually empower China rather than denigrate China, which is what it seems Mr. Trump wants to do, at least according to his campaign promises. That said, you're right to point out that it's conceivable, it's hypothetical, but it's conceivable that other countries, India would be a good example, might, as a result of this, the opposition forces within those countries who really didn't want to go forward with the Paris Agreement or with commitments or contributions might now be empowered and have a louder voice politically within their countries. That's my concern. That's my greatest concern, is that as a result of this, we might see some countries rolling back. However, I should say that here in Marrakesh, there has been absolutely, absolutely no evidence of that. I've spoken with people from a number of important negotiating teams, and I have not heard any hint of that happening.
Well, I see that also today, more than 360 businesses signed a statement pledging to do their part regarding the Paris Accords, and they also called on President-elect Trump and President Obama to continue to support the Paris Climate Agreement. The companies included some big ones, General Mills, eBay, Nike, Intel, Hilton. I mean, is there a sort of a burgeoning of support and pressure coming from the private sector to continue keeping the Paris Climate Agreement on track?
What private industry hates most is uncertainty. And so what the election of Donald Trump surely brings, unquestionably, is a tremendous amount of uncertainty because no one knows what his positions really are or what his actions will be together with or without the Congress. So in that sense, the status quo was the Paris Agreement. They were already operating in terms of that. And so therefore, there's interest continuing with that.
Well, finally, Robert Stavins, I'm curious because just this week, the World Meteorological Organization said that 2016 is on track to be the hottest year on record. Do you think that it's essentially too late for us to avoid the worst and most serious effects of climate change, that we're already well down that path?
Well, there isn't a single bright line at which it's too soon, just in time, or too late. The longer we delay, the greater the costs will be to achieve any target by any given date, because it means taking more drastic actions. It is true that 2016 is the hottest year on record. So was 2015. So was 2014. And so that is completely valid. It is getting more difficult to address the problem. But it is helpful to keep in mind this is a long-term problem because these greenhouse gases accumulate in the atmosphere. If there's a choice between not taking action and taking action 2 years from now or 4 years from now, I'd certainly side with taking action 2 or 4 years from now. But taking action sooner is unquestionably better.
Robert Stavins is professor of business and government at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He's also director of the Harvard Project on Climate Agreements. He spoke with us earlier today from Marrakesh, where he's attending COP22, the meeting of nearly 200 nations, to work out details of the Paris Climate Agreement. We'll be back in about 90 seconds. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.